Welcome to the podcast!
Yeah, it's Beck and Jazeel here, and this is some of the best bits of our show in the last 24 hours. It'll make your wildest dreams come true.
Well, it's definitely some bits of the show from the last 24 hours, but we really hope you enjoy it.
I've got more culture in my pinky tote.
It's called culture.
Yeah, but give them some culture.
98.5 Drive here with Beck and Jazeel.
The Australian premiere of Nevermore, the imaginary life and mysterious death of Edgar Allan Poe, is hitting Subiaco Art Centre from the 1st to the 4th of December. Cal Silberstein plays Edgar Allan Poe himself, and he joins us now. Welcome, Cal.
Hey, Cal.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Now, straight away, how much did you know about Edgar Allan Poe before you started working on this musical?
Look, by reputation, obviously, everyone feels like they know a bit about Edgar Allan Poe. I was familiar with a little bit of his work, a few short stories and poems through either high school English or, that one Simpsons episode where they just do the Raven in full. But, it's been one of the real joys of being a part of this show is the opportunity to immerse myself in a bit more of his life. And I mean, I say joy. It's hard to talk about the word joy when you're talking about Edgar Allan Poe. Bit of a morose sort.
It's so funny you mentioned The Simpsons, because as soon as I started reading about this, all I thought of was that episode of The Simpsons.
Right. Yeah. Like everyone who grew up watching The Simpsons at 6 p.m. in the 90s is going to see the title of the show and just hear Bart Simpson's voice going, "Nevermore."
Yeah. Nevermore. Now, what have rehearsals been like in the lead up, Cal?
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, very, very intense. We've had a pretty long rehearsal period because it is a bit of a beast of a show. It's pretty complex. It's through composed, almost entirely sung through. And so everything in the show has to be quite rigidly coordinated with the pulse of the show. So even the sections that are not sung are spoken in iambic tetrameter or trimeter, which is the sort of meter that mimics most closely Poe's poetry. And so everything has to be quite meticulously thought out in terms of timing and maintaining that rhythm. And there's this really exciting pulse that underlies the show and propels it forward.
Look, we're going to be honest. We didn't
but that has made it quite a tricky exercise in coordination in the rehearsals. But the whole cast and production team, you know, super enthusiastic, super talented, and just ready to meet that challenge head on.
We can't wait. What's your favourite part about the show? You've done all the rehearsals, you know, inside and out. What's your favourite part?
Well, look, it's hard to work in musical theatre and not say the music. I think that's really the joy of it there. And getting to do something that doesn't sound like other musicals as well. It's this interesting fusion of a sort of 2000s emo rock style, but then there's a sort of almost Victorian gothic choral aspect to the way that the vocal harmonies work. And there's a little bit of that sort of Danny Elfman-esque, minor harmony in the orchestration and things like that. It's this magnificent blend of all of these different styles. And that's very exciting to me. And I would say as well, getting to work with this cast as well, because I just play Edgar, but my castmates, the six people who are supporting me, they play, you know, five, six, seven different characters each.
Wow.
Across the kind of scope of the show and are constantly changing voices and aesthetics and physicalities and to really create this impression of this menagerie of kooky, macabre people that surrounded Edgar Allan Poe in his life.
That sounds amazing.
To not muck up any lines as well when you're playing, you know, six different characters.
Yeah. Oh,
you really can't afford to, and especially when we're working to that pulse that I mentioned before, yeah.
Would you be able to, you know, break into character right now for us?
Could you recite something?
Break into character? I mean, difficult to do by voice alone, but I guess if you want a bit of "Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore," little bit.
I'm sold.
That was brilliant.
Here
like,
I come.
More. Now, what inspired you to get into theatre in the first place?
You're going back a fair bit there. I've really been involved in theatre since my adolescence. I think I was one of those kids who loved to play pretend, and you kind of age out of that being socially acceptable. And so I suppose the way for me to continue to immerse myself in imaginary worlds and extraordinary characters was through getting involved in theatre. And so I came up through the Midnight Youth Theatre Company and worked with them all through high school and into a little bit of my young adulthood as well, and became heavily involved in the University Dramatic Society at UWA, and then started running in more sort of independent theatre circles, and finally ended up heading off and spending a bit of time in America studying at New York University and immersing myself in the New York theatre scene. It's really been this one constant throughout my life, honestly, and you know, infuse that with music, and it's just I think a universal human impulse to connect to storytelling through music, and so I don't know if it really makes me much different to anyone else other than just the kind of refusal to let that sort of childlike, playful, imaginative side of me truly go.
That's yeah, so cool.
Hang on to it.
Yeah, definitely.
If you had to do anything else, though, I mean, I can't imagine you doing anything else when, you know, you're a super creative kind of person that brings out the drama. But if you had to do something else, what would it be?
Well, I guess that's the quiet sort of unsaid part of that diatribe that I just gave you, is like, I don't really know how to do anything else. I don't have much in the way of marketable skills. I don't know. I suppose I'm actually fairly interested in broadcasting and radio. Anything that allows me to talk to people, you know, be in front of an audience, or I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be an audience, but just kind of absorbing and digesting people's stories and getting to meet people. I've got a fair interest in education as well. You know, I worked at a tutoring centre for many, many years, and so I'd say development and the way that people sort of learn to think is really interesting to me. So I don't know, maybe there's a future version of myself that's a teacher of some kind. Yeah, I don't know.
Or take over our jobs. We get it.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I feel the same as you.
I had to. You really awakened my latent existential dread there. So I had to just fire back at you.
Here's the thing. I'm like, I have no other skills other than radio. I'm the same as you. I'm like, I could do nothing else, really.
And then it's like, is it a skill? Subjective.
Oh, let's not even go down that road. At least I have very supportive parents, you know.
Yeah, it always helps. Cal Silverstein plays Edgar Allan Poe in Nevermore, The Imaginary Life and Mysterious Death of Edgar Allan Poe. It's hitting Subiaco Arts Centre from the 1st till the 4th of December. Thank you so much, Cal.
Thanks, Cal.
Thank you very much for having me.
Whew, what a hoot that was.
That was. Oh, I'm tired just from listening to it.
Oh, I'm energised.
Yeah. Hey, if you want more from The Drive Show, just visit 98.5.com. And don't forget, you can tune in live anytime for more of this great banter.